I think Beyond Meat's IPO and its success is extremely significant. And Beyond is really the first of its kind, first company of its kind to go public. It's a new type of food company. And they're making plant-based meat for everyone. They're not just targeting vegetarians. And that the financial markets recognize the potential here, and it really changes the game for all other startups and anyone looking to get into this space.
Were you expecting this company to close on day one at $65 a share?
Oh, no, I was not expecting this at all. And 2 weeks ago, they were thinking that their IPO price might be between, you know, $19 and $21, and they were only going to offer, you know, fewer shares. And then they increased the number of shares they're offering, and they increased their target range. And then when they priced out last night, they priced it $25. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I, you know, had the stock ticker up, and it just went crazy. I had absolutely no idea. It was totally beyond my wildest dreams.
And I guess full disclosure before we go any further, you didn't fork out any cash, did you?
I did not. I might be able to retire now if I had gotten ahead of the curve.
Why do you think investors were so keen to sink their teeth into Beyond Meat?
Well, I think the potential upside for Beyond Meat is just enormous. I mean, their sales continue to grow and grow year over year. They're basically only limited by their ability to scale up their production. So getting in on the ground floor of what could be potentially be an absolutely ginormous, just an enormous global food company, that's, you know, very attractive to investors.
What is Beyond Meat's plan?
Well, I think Beyond Meat's plan is just really simple. And first of all, they need to expand production to meet the growing demand for their products. And then they just want to continue to introduce new products and improve on the products they already have. And just earlier this year, they introduced the second version of their burger. And I'm sure that next year they'll introduce a third version and new versions of their sausages and then other products as well.
One of Beyond Meat's shareholders leading up to this IPO was Tyson Foods, the biggest meat processing company in the US. It actually sold its 6.5% stake in the company earlier this week. Why did it jump before the IPO?
Yeah, Matt, that's a really good question. There are two reasons that Tyson sold their stake. The first is that their investments were made by Tyson Ventures, which is the venture capital arm for Tyson Foods. And actually, Beyond Meat was their very first investment after they formed Tyson Ventures. Most times, not all the times, most time venture capital firms sell out at IPO time. They don't hold stock. I mean, they sell out at IPO time, and then they move on to the next thing. Now, the second reason that Tyson sold their stake in Beyond Meat is more specific to this particular situation. Earlier this year, Tyson Foods announced that they were going to be producing their own plant-based protein products and marketing them to the United States and then beyond the United States. So it really didn't make sense for them to remain as an advisor to an investor in and an advisor to a competitor.
They're going to become the competition.
That's right. And one of my colleagues looked at the numbers, and it looks like Tyson Ventures approximately tripled their money, even selling before today's IPO. So that's not too bad of an investment.
I've just watched an interview with the chief executive of Beyond Meat, Ethan Brown. He told CNBC that the company really isn't focused on the plant-based meat sector as much as it's focused on the meat sector itself. Now, if you were a cattle producer, a traditional meat producer, what would you read into that comment?
Yeah, I think that this is just another way of saying that Beyond Meat wants to make products that everyone loves and everyone wants to eat. I mean, they aren't simply targeting people who are going out of their way to look for a plant-based product. I mean, they want to sell to everyone. This is why Beyond sells in the meat aisle of grocery stores and not just the meat alternative section of natural food stores.
A few of the cattle producer forums that I've been to this year in Australia, the question, the topic of what gets called fake meat, it always comes up. In Australia, I know cattle producers have been told not to worry and that there will be room in the market for traditional and alternative meat products. What do you think?
That's a really interesting question. I obviously can't predict the future. I think there might be a broader issue at stake here that everyone should consider. I think back to when I was working on my grandparents' farm 45 years ago in Ohio. At least here in the United States, agriculture has changed immensely since their little family farm was able to sell at the local grocery store. And agriculture has just changed continuously. And if you look at it this way, you know, Beyond Meat and plant-based meats and new ways of producing things is just a small part of the ongoing changes in agriculture.
If I can go back to that question, though, do you think there's room for both traditional and alternative meat?
I think that there will be for as long as I can imagine. And right now, plant-based meat is less than 1% of the market. So even growing at the rate that Beyond Meat is growing and other plant-based meats are growing, and it takes quite a while to get further up in the percentage of the market. So I don't think that companies like Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods are the boogeyman. I just think that it's part of the overall change and evolution of agriculture.